Hello and welcome to All You Ever Wanted to Know. I'm Jordan Patzwold. Once a month, sometimes more, we get the opportunity to chat with representatives from the Sunrise Health Region. And today from Sunrise, we have joining us Dr. Chetri, Medical Health Officer, and also Dr. Khan, who is the Regional Medical Health Officer with the First Nations Inuit Health Branch of Health Canada. It's great to have both of you gentlemen on the program today. Good to see you again.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And Dr. Khan.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Great to have you here. Well, we were just listening to the news, talking about things like needles being shared, and it kind of ties in with a topic we're going to be addressing today in a small part, of course. HIV, it's something that there has been a lot of public awareness that has been attempted to be made to get people to be very careful in terms of dealing of their health. Yet we see numbers, particularly when it comes to HIV, rise. It's a very sobering reality. So who wants to tell us, or Dr. Khan, I guess this can be addressed to you. Let's start with just the basics of HIV. What is it? And we'll take it from there.
So thank you so much for this opportunity. This is really great that we are spreading the words about, you know, HIV awareness and, you know, what HIV is and what sort of treatment care is available in the area. So HIV basically is a virus. Mm-hmm. It's called human immune deficiency virus. It's a little bit different than the AIDS. So I will explain that for you, what is the difference between the HIV and AIDS. But first of all, on HIV, mm-hmm. it's a viral infection. It is usually transmitted through blood-to-blood contact, but also through breast milk, semen, rectal fluid, and vaginal fluid. So if there is an exposure to those sort of situations, which usually happen when people have unprotected sex with somebody who has been infected, or people who have been on, been using intravenous drugs or sharing needles with those who are infected. So those are the most frequent ways of transmission that HIV spreads. The way it enters the body, so it's a very mysterious kind of infection. Sometime you would know that you would have symptoms,
right.
But usually people don't have symptoms, so you don't know till you get tested. So our word for the public and out there is that if you believe that you've been sharing needles with somebody, or if there was an unprotected sex with somebody who were suspected or had the HIV disease, then we encourage those people to go to their healthcare providers and get tested. So there is a lot of good testing mechanism available in mm-hmm. the area. You can go to the hospital, you can ask your nurse, you can ask your local doctors. And then you get tested. So testing is there, and it's very, very convenient, and it's the way patient want. If patient doesn't want to be known, so there is a way of very confidential way of doing the testing. But it's really, we are trying to normalize the HIV testing, make it available and accessible to everybody. The same way in the last 10, 20 years, the HIV diagnosis and treatment has gone through tremendous transformation. So the testing is very good. It can detect the virus very quickly, but also the treatment has gone through a lot of transformation. So the treatment that we have currently is very effective.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot cure HIV, but you can certainly treat HIV better than 10 years ago. And, you know, the side effects are less, and the treatment is very, very effective. So that's what
Good.
We are trying to do.
Well, and like a lot of serious illnesses, early detection is the key.
Exactly.
And that can certainly go a long way when it comes to terms of treatment and also the prognosis at the end.
Yeah.
The sooner we catch, the better.
Yeah, so the earlier people can go to their doctor, get early testing and get early diagnosis
mm-hmm.
is very, very good. And has a very good outcome in terms of health outcomes. So if you detect the disease early, then it's really effectively treated, and then you don't see all the complications and the late stages of HIV, which is called the AIDS. AIDS is actually HIV infection, which is untreated and progressed to a late stage. The whole body immune system has collapsed, and organs are involved, and a lot of other complications that happens if HIV is untreated. So untreated HIV, the late stage of HIV is called AIDS.
Okay, so let's just dive into the difference. It's my understanding not everyone with HIV gets AIDS, but those that do have AIDS, they likely had HIV before.
Yeah.
That's part of what
It will be very unfortunate to see AIDS in this age because there is effective treatment and diagnosis available. So you shouldn't progress towards AIDS in this current time. Like, you know, if you are living in a town or a city, anywhere, the treatment is covered, treatment is available. So if you are on treatment, there is absolutely a guarantee that you will never progress to AIDS.
That's a very good point. We have the system here in Canada that allows someone free testing to go see the doctor to get something diagnosed very, very quickly.
Yes.
And yeah, we certainly hope that that would be crucial and avoided AIDS being, I guess getting the diagnosis of AIDS, yes. Now, HIV, you've alluded to it a little bit, Dr. Khan, but treatment, Dr. Chetri, what does treatment look like for someone with HIV? What does that look like in 2017?
So first of all, you know, HIV is different now compared to past few years. So you may think that this is a terminal illness, but it is not at all. So if you find out that you have a disease early on, and then with the medication, and the life expectancy of the people with HIV is almost equal to people without HIV. And then you can also live the healthy life as well. So with medication nowadays, so it's once a day pill for now, compared to like 6-7 pills, 8-10 pills a day back then.
Wow.
And that medication is very effective, that will put the virus to sleep, which is virally suppressed. Once you are virally suppressed, then transmitting that infection to other person is tremendously reduced, almost to nothing. So HIV treatment is not only a treatment these days, this is also prevention. So this is one of the prevention model as well.
That's great that we've come so far and that it's not so many pills as an example, because the more that there would be, the more difficult it is for someone to remember schedules of taking the medication. But one, wow, that's awesome. So like Dr. Khan suggested, for someone to tell that they've been infected, that can be difficult sometimes because they won't show a symptom.
Absolutely. You know, so first of all, you know, anyone can get HIV, no matter your age, gender, race, and so on. So, everyone should be tested. So according to a Saskatchewan Ministry of Health HIV testing policy, anyone between the age of 13 and 70, they should get tested. So at least once in a 5 years time. But if you have a risk factor, then the testing frequency goes more frequent, which is probably once a year. Then if your doctor or your health provider says that you should be testing HIV, then do not get surprised, because HIV now is a routine testing, for example, just like routine testing for your blood glucose, routine testing for a lipid profile, that's going to be routine testing for HIV as well. So do not get surprised if your care provider says.
So it's simply going to like the hospital, the lab, they're going to take blood, a urine sample, what exactly?
So first of all, where can you do your testing? Is what we say is, in terms of place, that every door is the right door. Meaning, first of all, you can go to your care provider, nurse practitioner, your family doctor, and ask for testing. Second of all, you can go to our Turning Point program in Yorkton, and you can call any local public health, so within Sunrise Health region, we will also do testing and redirect where to go. And then also, we ask Sunrise Health region that all the emergency department, if anyone shows up there and requesting for HIV testing, that can be done there as well. This is as simple as just a blood test. So you just take out the blood, you go to the lab, take out the blood, and then that the result can be quick.
And
good.
That test, Jordan, is very different types of tests available. So one is a rapid test that is available in the area, so people can get the diagnosis within an hour. And also there are tests available that may take a couple of weeks, but that is a confirmatory test that is done after the rapid test. So those sort of tests are available in the area.
Great. So that's available to people. Now, when someone acquires the HIV virus from someone else, how soon after could an HIV test be able to detect if someone now has it and has been infected themselves?
If anyone has a suspicion that they have been exposed to the HIV infection or somebody that had HIV. So our message to those people is that they should get in touch with their healthcare provider as quickly as they can, mm-hmm. and not to wait any further. Usually, the tests become positive. After an exposure to an HIV, the tests become positive within 2 to 3 weeks. And as I mentioned, there are tests available that you can have your diagnosis within an hour. There are tests available for confirmation of the HIV. So those tests are available, and people are encouraged to check with their doctors as quickly as they can after their suspicion or, you know, exposure to HIV. And the tests tell you very quickly that if you got it or not. And, you know, we recommend that if somebody has a very strong exposure or a very prolonged exposure to someone, then we ask them to get tested not only right after their, you know, having the knowledge that they have been exposed, but also at 3 months and 6 months, like repeatedly to rule out HIV that they have not been infected. We recommend a series of testing after a couple of intervals that just to rule out HIV. So we urge people to get tested as quickly as they can.
Good. Again, joining us on All You Ever Wanted to Know today, Dr. Khan, who is a regional medical health officer with the First Nations Inuit Health Branch with Health Canada and with the Sunrise Health Region, medical health officer, Dr. Chetri. Now, we're going to do some myth-busting at this point of the interview, and I know we just want to put people's, fears maybe to calm them a little bit, because there has been, I think, a lot of misinformation that gets out there, whether it's through something like social media, whether it's a TV show that thinks they know what they're saying when they're on a crime drama or something along those lines. Sometimes what they present and have before us couldn't be further from the truth. So something like, if someone in my community has HIV, should a community be more nervous? Does just having them in the community put other people more at risk, Dr. Yeah. Khan?
So that's a very good question. I'm really happy you asked for that, because there's a lot of misunderstanding, misconception out there about HIV.
Okay.
People think it transmits through food, kissing somebody, or sharing a toilet or food. These are all misunderstanding and misconception. HIV does not spread through those sort of routes. It's just spread through blood-to-blood contact, sexual contact, sharing dirty needles, and those sort of things. So we really remind people that if they believe that they have been exposed to those sort of situations, that they get tested. But usually it's more through blood-to-blood, and especially if a woman who is pregnant has HIV and is not treated, then there's a very good chance that the baby will be infected. So we urge all pregnant women as well to get tested when they are pregnant. And those sort of tests available in their prenatal care. So there's a lot of ways you can prevent and protect the baby and all other people that you may have a sexual partner,
yeah.
And those sort of things. So the word is that it's mainly through blood-to-blood, contaminated blood, sharing dirty needles that with somebody that has HIV or AIDS. So that is actually the main route. It does not spread through food or hugging, kissing, and sitting with somebody or talking to somebody. So we just don't really want people to understand that really clearly.
Yeah, well, and the unfortunate prevalence of HIV, there's just the stats would seem to suggest that every community out there, there'd probably be at least one. And it's just the reality. It doesn't mean that it's going to spread all the more easily.
No.
It's just the reality of the situation. You don't have to act differently around them. You don't have to keep your distance, if you will.
And if there is somebody in the community that you know is HIV positive, you really don't need to be fearful of that. What we need to do as a community to respect those people and encourage them to go see a doctor,
mm-hmm.
But there is actually no risk to anybody sitting, talking to them, sharing food, or sharing a space.
And once they have been tested positive in that regard, of course, that would simply mean that they've already seen a doctor if they now have a positive diagnosis. There's obviously a lot of hope, and likely if they're seeing a doctor, there's been treatment offered to them and that they're mm-hmm. taking it, and so that hopefully the disease in terms of spreading is limited. And that's, I guess, the biggest problem, though, is that there's a lot of people out there who have it, they just don't know it.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing the numbers unfortunately grow, basically.
There are a lot of information about that every one in five Canadians that have HIV doesn't know about their HIV status.
Wow.
So that's what we, that's the magnitude of the issue. So we really want to ask people that if they believe they've been exposed or they have a high risk contact, like sharing needles or unprotected sex with somebody that was sharing needles and those sort of things. So we ask them to get tested, and testing is very easy and available and covered. And by the way, nobody pay out of pocket for testing and diagnosis and all those sort of care that's required for HIV.
Really, there is no reason for someone to be able to find out and get treatment started. So any other misconceptions you wanted to help clear up, Dr. Khan, in terms of HIV? Or we have...
Well, if there is somebody in the community or in any area that is been known or has been sharing the fact that they are positive, we ask them to, as long as you are on treatment, as Dr. Chetri mentioned, there is a very, and the virus is suppressed, there is a very low risk of transmitting to other. And even if somebody is positive or not, we urge them to observe or, follow the safer sex approaches and, use condoms, use clean needles, whatever they are, they are available in the health regions, even in First Nations communities in the surrounding area. So there is a lot of good protection and prevention available. People just need to know and make the right choices.
Yeah, well, I know the needles and the places that offer the clean needles, some have looked on with raised eyebrows. They're confused. Why would you offer? You're just encouraging them to engage maybe in illegal drug activity if you're providing the needles for them. But ultimately, the more people we can keep HIV,
yes,
the healthier a community can be. And ultimately, I guess from a taxpayer standpoint, it's far less for a needle than to treat someone for HIV.
Yeah. So there's a lot of science around the needle exchange program. That's why it's offered in the health region. So there's a lot of science. There's a growing evidence that having access to a clean needle definitely affect those people who are in these habits. So we ask them to adopt a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah.
But if they're still sharing, I mean, there is access available to clean needles, and that really reduces the risk of further transmission or, to other people. Mm.
And with addiction, maybe to illegal drugs or something along those lines, it's a mental health issue, not just a physical health issue. So if we can help people prevent something else from developing in terms of serious illness through something like the needle programs, I know my eyes have been open to why exactly such programs are around, even though you don't like what's going on behind the scenes of illegal drug activity. But anyhow, Dr. Chetri, let's go back to you. Regarding the sharing of needles, they can still avoid HIV if they're smart.
Absolutely.
That kind of goes along with what we've already talked
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. Dr. Khan already mentioned about that. There are lots of science behind that. So as we know, addiction is a unique problem. It's unique to everyone. So it's not necessarily that they would have to stop, but they can stop. If they have to use it, there is a service out there. Just use a clean needles, clean equipment that can be found throughout the country, throughout the health region, and throughout the province. So if you do not share the needles and other equipment, so that is the safest way to inject the drug if you have to.
Now, could someone will bust another, I don't know, we'll separate myth from fact. Can someone get a HIV from, as an example, a used needle they simply find on the ground if they touch it or something like that? Is that possible?
Well, theoretically possible in a very small scale. So, but evidently there has been few studies in Canada, in Australia for so many years, and then so far they have not found any evidence that the discarded needle in the community which was poked to the person or citizen, so they did not get any bloodborne infections like HIV, Hep C or Hep B. But theoretically, there is a risk. So if you see needles in the community, do not pick that up by your hand. So use tongue or tweezer. But then if you want to pick it up, then use tongs and then put in a hard shell plastic container or the glass container. Or you can call public health and then you just say that we found a needle there.
Yeah.
We will do the cleanup as well.
Great. So people can just, should they stay where it is until a health officer, if they give a general idea of where it is, use the tongs maybe to a safe, easier location to stay at till public health can come?
So, yeah, not necessarily, because if we know, okay, they have their needle found there, so we will quickly go there and okay. do the thing. And then if you accidentally poked it, for example,
yep.
First of all, what you have to do is let the wound bleed freely and then wash the wound with soap and water and then go to the ER so then that person can be evaluated and then there is mm-hmm. other thing might be done. There is a post-exposure prophylaxis for HIV. There is post-exposure prophylaxis for Hep B if needed. So there are so many things can be done. So all you need to go to ER.
Similar precautions as if someone is stepping on a nail, as an example.
Exactly.
To prevent the tetanus, as an example.
And we also encourage the parents that if they have children and if they believe that there are needles in the area, that we educate the children not to touch it and tell their mm-hmm. parents till they find the right person to come and pick it up. So I think we also want to educate parents, and you know, if they believe there are needles in the area, so that we want to tell our children not to touch it and keep them protected as well. But if somebody is, as Dr. Chetri mentioned, is exposed, let it bleed, wash, and there is a prophylactic measures available, like a medication if it's a high risk, there was a blood on the needle and those sort of things. So we ask them to connect with their local health, public health or healthcare providers for that.
All right. Almost out of time today on the program, but to go back to, I guess, summarizing some of the things that we want to just drive home again, HIV, not like decades ago where someone with HIV, they'd likely be in a fight for their life, as an example. Early detection, early treatment, it's something that can be easily as manageable as many other things that people deal with here in Saskatchewan, something like diabetes, any other kind of mm-hmm. condition. I take pills every day for my kidney. It's just something like that. If you happen to have it, there are great ways people can get that treatment, like we alluded to. One pill now we're at instead of half a dozen. As long as we are able to get someone tested, positive diagnosis is found early enough.
You summarize it really, yeah. really well. So that is actually the key message, mm-hmm. That the treatment is very effective, very less side effects, and it's available. And the earlier you start the treatment, the better are the health outcomes, and people live right. as long as anyone else with HIV.
Well, and so it's going to help prevent the spread as well.
Exactly. And your spouse and your sexual partners are safe as well.
So then only way to know for sure that if you have HIV or not is to get tested. There is no other way around. So mm-hmm. it has to be tested.
Again, a reminder, though, where someone can go to get tested.
So there are lots of places. I said, first of all, you can go to your family doctor, nurse practitioner, or you can go to Turning Point Program at Yorkton, or you can go to any emergency at Sunrise Health Region and then ask for testing. They will do the test for everyone.
Great. So no excuses. That is for sure after what we've talked about today. Dr. Khan, again, Regional Medical Health Officer with First Nations Inuit Health Branch with Health Canada, and Dr. Chetri, Medical Health Officer with Sunrise Health Region. Thank you both for popping in today, joining us on the program.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
The pleasure is mine.
Excellent. This has been our program for today. Until next time, have yourself a wonderful day and be blessed.